Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your day with up to 38 departures each week to London. Explore more today on shannonairport.ie.
And a very good morning to you all. We're here with you until 12 noon. Keep your comments coming to us. John Underhill is with us later as well, by the way. So if you've got questions for him, don't be slow in sending them in. 086 1800 964. To a family pet missing from the Drumcliff / Larch Hill area of Innisbrun and White Springer Spaniel. Answers to the name of Sam, missing since Sunday. Our texter's hoping that somebody may have seen him. And if you have, 087 930 7752. That's 087 930 7752. That dog, a brown and white Springer Spaniel, missing in the Drumcliff or Larch Hill area of Ennis. Paul was in touch earlier. Hi, Morning Focus. Can you buy car insurance policies in other EU countries and are they cheaper? No, you can't. And I asked this of Port McNicholas after we went off air to make sure that I was correct in saying so. But, you know, when you listen to the financial ads and at the very end, your man comes on, or your one, a girl, and they say really, really quickly the little terms and conditions, and such a company is authorised by the Central Bank of Ireland under the Contract of Business Rules. That's how they word it, I think, Fiona, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always like everyone listening. That's, if they don't have that, you can't buy insurance off them. So no, you can't go to Deutsche Insurance or French Insurance and get it off them. Sorry, there's no break for the little guy in that one. A couple of other comments in as well. I'll get to them in a short while. But Fiona is back with us for the second part of our series this week, in which we are looking at issues of children who get involved in crime or who are at risk of becoming offenders. Now, yesterday, Fiona told us and introduced, I think, to many of us, the concept of the Garda Youth Diversion Programme in Clare and how that works in terms of keeping children out of the court and supporting them in avoiding a criminal record. Today, Fiona, we're going to hear from some of those involved, but maybe for those who weren't with us yesterday, just a quick reminder of how that scheme works. It'll also be important to some of what we're about to hear, I know.
Yeah, Gavin, under the law, people who are under 18 must be considered for a caution as an alternative to court. So, for example, when a child is involved in an incident where the law is broken, this approach is taken in order to avoid them maybe going to the courts and having a criminal conviction at a very early age. Now, the decision on whether or not to caution a child or to actually take them to, through the courts is made by the Irish Youth Justice Service. Whenever a child under the law, a person under 18, comes to the attention of Gardaí. Now, in cases of very serious offences, Gavin, it's important to say that children can be charged, and in that case they would go before the children's court. But those who are cautioned instead, they're very often referred to that Garda Youth Diversion Programme. And according to figures that we've secured here on Morning Focus, last year in Clare there were 625 referrals to that programme. These were for a wide range of offences, everything from theft from the person to sexual offences to assaults. And for the very first time ever, there were 7 referrals, as we said yesterday, for online crimes, crimes involving the internet. Now, we heard yesterday from one of the juvenile liaison officers in the Clare Garda division, that's Trace Flannery. She works with young offenders. And Trace told us that when a young person is directed to be cautioned, very often what she will do then, Gavin, she will refer them on to Clare Youth Service, and they run 2 different Garda projects. We also heard yesterday from Brian McManus, who looks after those for Clare Youth Service. Now, as well as the primary referrals, and these are children who've admitted to being involved in a crime, they've actually come to the Garda attention, there are sometimes opportunities on these projects for other young people who might be at risk of falling into criminality. For example, they might be missing from school, involved in underage drinking, etc. Now, these are called, the terminology is secondary referrals. They can be made in some cases by family resource centres, by schools, and sometimes by parents themselves.
So obviously the goal here is the child, or the fear is that the child is going down the wrong path. Let's keep them out of it before it's too late. And it's one of those cases we're going to hear about this morning, I think.
That's right, Gavin. We're going to hear very shortly from Margaret. Now, Margaret's son struggled with disruptive behaviour in his very early teens and even as young as the age of 10 or 11. Gradually, he became involved with drugs, he became involved with alcohol, began to mitch off school, and literally, as Margaret tells us, you know, she and her husband did everything they could, but they were a very, very long time looking for help. They had all kinds of family interventions, they had a private psychologist, nothing was working, Gavin, and eventually they managed to get their son a place on the Garda Youth Project.
And this is Margaret?
This is Margaret.
For us, it started when he was quite young. He was 10, 11. He was the eldest of the family and of the children. And we live a little bit outside of town, so he always wanted a little bit of expansion on the boundary of timekeeping and so on, and we pushed it out a little bit because, you know, he said he had to lead the way for the younger ones as such. But, you know, based on that, we said, okay. But unfortunately, as time went on, that boundary of time boundary just seemed to get later and later and later. And,
so, Margaret, you mean kind of coming home at night after being out with friends and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And have a curfew in the evening and so on. So, and that got stretched all the time. And so we were always continually trying to corral him into that time frame. But then, you know, he started going out and I wouldn't often know who his friends were. I'd say bring them back to the house, you know, there's plenty of room there. They can do what they need to do, and chill out and watch TV and so on. And but no, he never really brought any of his friends that he would socialise in the evenings home. And we had the regular school friends that would come over, the ones that he grew up with and so on, and that was great. But as he went into his early teens, we probably saw less of them. Maybe one or two in particular would come around, but it would be generally he'd be out and about and you'd be ringing around to see where he was and trying to call him and drive around to see where he was and so on.
Obviously, Margaret, very, very worrying for you and your husband as parents. Did you know what your son, what he was involved in, or, you know, apart from being out late at night, were you concerned about what exactly he was up to?
Absolutely, because he'd never give you a straight answer, or if he did, you wouldn't know if it was the honest answer and so on. And look at early teens as well. Should they be all going down to the fair green and behind the wall and be drinking and so on? And you'd be telling them, look, you're not really supposed to be doing that, and you'd try to bring them to a different direction or do something else. But we'd get the cold shoulder, and this is what he was doing, and there were his friends and so on.
Mm. Margaret, then in terms of realising that the time had come to look for help, what doors did you knock on and who did you ask? And because very often within families we'll try and contain an issue and a problem and we're reluctant very often to look for help. But who did you approach initially?
I suppose my GP was the first point of contact where I'd go in and chat and say, you know, and look for direction as to where he could direct me, because we had no idea as parents to go to a next level of getting expert help. We didn't really know what was going on with our son at the time, or he wasn't really talking to us. We actually tried to get some private counselling, and it was just a struggle to get him into the car. And obviously, look at if you can bring the horse to the water, but he may not drink it. So, yes, we would bring him to a counsellor. But look, there was nothing coming from him. Like, he wasn't going to divulge any information and so on. Just waste of time, waste of money and so on. But we continued, and we were referred to Clare Care, and they were massive help. We actually went in and we had parenting classes. Our other children and our son didn't know we were doing this on the side. Mm-hmm. You know, be during the school time, and we'd be off down to Clare Care, meeting other families in the same situations, to meet other parents as well that were really in the same boat as us as well, and sometimes actually probably worse than our situation. We did a couple of weeks down there, and then there was a referral onto a youth service that was going to be held over, I think it was 10 or 12 weeks, and it was a commitment for one evening a week where you did spend a couple of hours with, again, other families, youth officers, people that would take the adolescents from our care, and they would go off into another room, and as parents we could get to sit around and speak openly, and people share their stories, we share their stories, but it was the same story in every house. Mm. And it's just so difficult trying to get the services together and just to deal with what we need to do for our son. I think initially he didn't want to go.
Mm. I was going to ask you that because you'd mentioned how difficult it was to get him to see the private counsellor. Yeah. Did he feel that this was something which again was kind of put in the spotlight, maybe unfairly on him?
Well, I must say while we were taking him to the private counsellor, we tried to access services that weren't private first, but there was nothing for under 18-year-olds. Mm. You know, we were dealing with a 13-year-old. We had 5 years before we could access anything. And that was why we had to go the private route. But again, it didn't work out. And yes, he didn't want to go to this this commitment every week. But I think after the second week, by the third week, he was coming around to it. He kind of got to know what he was dealing with, who was there. And there was one person in particular that, you know, he really struck up a friendship with and I think admired. Mm. And through that, then he continued to go then every week and it wasn't such a big deal to get him there and so on. And I was actually, by the end of it, I was sorry that it was over because, you know, at the end of that time, he had a relationship with this liaison person and so on.
So in terms, Margaret, of striking up, as you said, the relationship with somebody from the service, do you think that was something that did lead to a change in his own behaviour?
It did, because Valerie was the name of this person and she really was able to, I don't know, because maybe there's a generation between us and Sean. She's in the middle of that. So she was able to connect with him and so on. But again, he would speak to her. And look, it wasn't plain sailing at all. Yes, we did those couple of weeks, but, you know, it was a junior cert year. He wouldn't go to school. He would hardly come out of bed at times. Valerie was our link to him because, you know, we would give her a ring. We didn't ring her just lightly. It was a desperate call for help, you know, but she was a person that he was connected with and she would come and she would talk to him and she'd speak to him and she'd bring him to school and he'd go in and for her at that time, she got him over the line to actually junior cert level and so on. And then we were into the other 2 years then after that. And yes, it wasn't plain sailing either, like, you know, but again, we got him over the line and he did it and so on.
And then in terms of progress for your son, you said he got to leaving cert stage and beyond that. Yeah. And really, he has turned a corner in terms of where he sees himself and his future?
He has, thank God. But we had a lot of family interventions as well. We had our extended family get involved and they all tried to call him and ring him and how you doing and, you know, how's life with you and so on. And I think all of those and the fact that he's matured as well and he sees perhaps what, you know, he's probably put us parents through and he's got siblings that are younger than him and, you know, that age finally did come. They say things will improve with age and they did. But, you know, he was nearly 21 by the time it all came to fruition and and that was the, you know, the moving forward for him. Thank God, you know, we're in a place now that he is, you know, happy with himself and what he's doing and happy with things going on around him. So, but it was a very, very tough road. The services are very limited. So whatever we could grab from what was being offered to us through Clare Care and these youth services and so on, yes, we took open-heartedly in both hands to help us along the road.
And you've said it has been a very long road, you know, from problems first becoming apparent as early as the age of 10 or 11. What is life like now for you all as a family?
It's good. Well, he's moved away. And you know what? That's good too. I know I sound flippant there, but, you know, absence does make the heart grow fonder. And if they're not under your feet and, you know, some of the traits as they're accrued growing up during those years may have not been agreeable to us. Mm. But in small doses, they're grand. And it works well, you know, that he comes and goes and he's very happy where he is now and so on. And he's got a job and he's happy with life and he's doing the things that he wants to and he's supporting himself, which is what you want for every child, that they can go on and get on and so on.
And a remarkable turnaround, even though, as you said, Margaret, it was a long road, a decade more or less of struggling. But in terms of parents who might be listening and saying and feeling that they're going through exactly what you guys went through in the early stages when your son's behaviour became difficult to manage, what would you say to those parents in terms of finding that help that you guys eventually found?
Keep fighting. Keep fighting for your child, because they're like little lost people at times and they have no idea themselves why they're doing this. And what it is that's happening, and give them the support. Look at, believe me, I've gone grey. I've torn my hair out at times trying to get to the bottom of things. Mm. And you may never, somebody said to me, you may never, ever get to the bottom of why he was doing things a certain way. So keep fighting for the little people because they need the services. Mm-hmm. I always used to say to him when he didn't want me to be around him or he didn't want us, and I'd say, look, we have a duty of care as a parent and we're going to see it through. And that's what we've done for him.
And that's Margaret speaking in particular about her son, Sean. We'll hear from him when we're back in a couple of minutes' time.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your holiday. Barcelona, Rios and Toronto coming soon. Explore more on shannonairport.ie.